reading to you from the third chapter of Galatians, and with the first verse, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And well, I tell you, these last 45 years are sure flown by. But you know, when you're having a good time, it doesn't seem very long, does it? And I have truly had a good time preaching and sharing, and I hope and pray the Lord will give me a few more years. And then we pray that the rapture will come, and we'll all take that trip. You say, what is this rapture, Cecil? Well, it's going to happen, beloved. When it's going to happen, I do not know. But God the Father knows, and he's not even telling his son Jesus. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea and maybe a lemonade tonight. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you like to bow your head with me and let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this spring weather. I thank you, Lord, for so many things that you've done for us. And we can't repay you. We can't repay you for our salvation because it was free. But one thing we can do, Lord, is go out and tell other people about your son Jesus. Now, I know that pleases you. We're supposed to be witnesses and soul winners, and I've tried to do that over these past 45 years. Oh, I've made a lot of mistakes, Lord, and you know it, and but they're all under the blood. I've confessed them and turned from them. Now, Father, you know all the needs of all of our radio listening family. Some of them are spiritual, some are physical, some are some other thing. But whatever they are, Lord, I pray that this message tonight might encourage, might turn people's eyes toward Jesus, where their help comes from. Thank you, Lord, for doing for us that we cannot do ourselves. Thank you for giving me enough health to go out and preach. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll take care of all of our needs tonight, all the needs of this radio ministry. And I pray you'll honor your word, lift up Jesus, hide me behind the cross, precious Lord, and save that man, that woman who's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you a question. Have you just sometimes would just like to sit down and, like the songwriter said, have a little talk with Jesus? I mean, just sit down, you and him, and tell him all of your problems and your trouble. You say, oh, Cecil, many times I'd like to do that. Well, the question I ask, why don't you do it? We're supposed to tell him about our perils, and we, if we have questions for him, we have the right to ask him if we're born again. We sure do. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can ask the Lord about these things and these questions. I recall as a baby Christian, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was a baby Christian, and we had a man in our church that I thought was the most spiritual man I had ever met in my entire life. When he prayed, it just brought heaven down, you know. Well, one day he came to me and he said, I want to have a talk with you, Cecil, about some things. I said, okay, Brother Roger, what's on your mind? Well, he said, I got some bad news. I said, well, what is the bad news? He said, well, I hate to say this because I know you love the pastor, Brother Tom, but he's really not telling you the truth. And my eyes got as big as saucers. What a terrible thing for a Christian to tell another person to try to put their pastor in jeopardy. And I don't think he really realized how much it hurt me. But he said, well, I said, well, what is he saying that's not wrong? Well, he's telling you that once you're saved, you can go to heaven. Well, I said, not only did he say that, but I said, the Bible says that. Oh, Cecil, you're an embryonic theologian. You don't know anything about the Bible. Well, I said, I agree with you. I know very little. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, I'm praying, and I'm reading this book as hard as I can. I'd read the book in the middle of the night. I wanted to know what God had for my life, and I sure didn't know he wanted me to be a preacher. Or maybe I wouldn't have prayed so hard. But anyway, so this particular Sunday I went to church. My heart was a little heavy because I did love this brother, but I love my pastor. So Brother Tom got up and he said, you know, I went to Southwestern Seminary, and we have some of the greatest teachers in the world. And he said, but there's one teacher that's even greater than them, and that's God's Holy Spirit. I says, uh-oh, here we go. He said, if you have a question that's bothering you and you don't know what to do, I suggest that you go home and you get your Bible out and you bow your head and you say, Lord, what is this? I need to know about this. Boy, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get home, to get my Bible out and start praying. Lord, show me what I'm supposed to know. Did Tom lie to me or did he not? Friends, let me tell you what God's Holy Spirit did. He took this young Christian and he showed him things in the Bible that just jumped out to me, jumped out after me. And I realized that my pastor had not lied to me. If Jesus said, I give you eternal life, that's exactly what he means. Now, are you saved by grace through faith, and then are you kept saved by your good works? Think about that. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of works, not lest any man should boast. So, if God saves you by his Holy Spirit and not by works, and he gives you eternal life, write your name in the Lamb book, are you going to keep saved by your good works? It isn't going to happen. The Bible said there is therefore my stars in the morning. Please bear with me just a moment, will you? Because I'm having a little problem here. My memory sometimes did not serve me like it ought to. All right. Let's see here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I don't know how you can get around that. But if he saves you and you're truly born again, you say, okay, see, so now let's supposing, old boy, that you go out and you've been claimed to be saved and you were an alcoholic. You go out and you get drunk and you rob a bank. And if you die after that, where will you go? I said, to heaven. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I said, well, now you explain to me about David, the young man after God's own heart. David did a terrible, terrible thing. He committed adultery. And not only did he commit adultery, he caused her husband to be killed in battle. So he was guilty of murder. But the time came in David's life when the Holy Spirit of God convicted him of his horrible sin, and David cried out that the Lord would forgive him and restore to him the joy of his salvation. Had that word joy not appeared, then I'd have had to go with you. But it was a joy, and God gave it back to him. Oh, I don't think David was ever as strong as he was before, but God forgave him. The Bible says that if we sin, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That is written to the Christian. If you've made a mistake in sin, and you will all of your life, you need to, the Holy Spirit of God will bring it to your attention. You tell God you're sorry, you turn your back on it, and he will give you forgiveness. Thus saith the Lord. Now, when we're sick, what do we do? Do we go to a roofer when we're sick? I don't think so. Well, when you're sick, do you go to an auto mechanic? I don't think so. Who do you go to? You go to the healer of broken hearts. My God is big enough to heal any problem that you have in your life or any sickness. Anyone. However, I might be quick to add that it may not be his God, may not be God's will that you will be healed, but there is nothing that God cannot heal. I've seen some tremendous things in my life. I know when I had that lung tumor and the doctor gave me up to die, it sure didn't look good. But I'll tell you, when they come back and told me that I had this lung tumor, and I remember, my friends, I went in to get dressed, and I got down on my knees in that dressing room, and I told the Lord, Lord, I'm afraid. Yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. I was a young Christian, didn't know too much, but I said, Lord, I'm afraid. And friends, if there's ever a peace that God gave this young preacher, it was then. I had the full assurance that God was going to heal me. I didn't know how, didn't know where, didn't know when, but I had the assurance that I was going to be well again. Now, let me tell you what, I got worse, and I got worse, and I'm bedridden. We have no money. We have 5 kids. What are we going to do? I've got too much pride to call on my family. Didn't going to do that. I was afraid they'd say, well, where's your Jesus? Where's your Jesus? And I wouldn't bring disgrace upon the Lord. Well, my wife prayed and I prayed. And I remember one day, of all the days of my life, I was feeling the worst. And my landlord came by and knocked on the door. And my wife ushered him into the bedroom. And I was sure he'd say, well, Cecil, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to move or pay the rent. I did not have the rent. And that dear, sweet man come over and took me by the hand and pressed in my hand a check for $75. He said, you can catch this rent up when you feel better. Oh, friends, you talk about a miracle. Well, and then one day, a young preacher boy who was working as a plumber, I came over to my bed and he said, Cecil, you know I've got a raise. My company gave me a $25 a month raise. And you know what God told me to do? He told me to come over and give it to you. Friends, I'd never seen things like that in my entire life. I told you I was a baby Christian. Then one time, it looked like I was a goner, but I still hadn't given up hope. And my wife said, Cecil, I'm going to take you down to the Veterans Hospital in Los Angeles. The night before we went, I prayed and I said, Dear Lord, I'm willing to go down there. I'm willing to be operated on if that's what has to be. But precious Lord, if you don't want me to be in that hospital after examination tomorrow, I pray that there will not be a bed available. Now that's a huge hospital, dear friends. So the possibility of not being a bed would be wouldn't be possible. I went down there, and they took me into these specialists, and they looked in my, they took pictures of my lung and all this and that, and finally they took me to the chief surgeon. He said, well, Mr. Moe, it looks like you have a serious problem, and We're going to have to go in your chest, but we're going to try a new experiment. Oh, boy. Here we go, one of those doctor practicing experiences. He said we drill two holes in your chest, and then we put some kind of oil in there in your lungs, and it's kind of like drowning, but we can find out what's going on. I said, well, if it has to be, it has to be. Now, pretty soon, this doctor got on the phone and he called down the desk and he blew cigarette smoke in my face and he said, what? There's no beds available today? And then tatter, they said, that's right, doctor. And I said, well, praise the Lord. That's all I could think of. He said, well, you'll have to come back. We'll call you when there's a bed available. I said, that's fine. And when my wife came in, she started to cry because I was so weak, she just had almost carry me to the car. I was down about 120 pounds. And she said, why are you so happy, Cecil? I said, because God heard and answered prayer. Now, had he wanted me to be in there, there would have been a bed available, but there wasn't. So, Gene, I believe God is going to get me well. We went home, and that night, my lung exploded. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, but it felt like I was going to blow up like a balloon. And I hollered my wife to get me a towel, and I put a towel around my chest and held it real tight. So it just felt like I was blowing up. Well, they rushed me to the doctor, and they filled me full of codeine or something, said, well, there's not a thing we can do tonight, and sent me home. The next morning, my wife said, well, Cecil, I made up my mind. I'm taking you to a doctor down here near the college. It was a little hole in the wall is what it was. He sure looked like one of these back alley doctors. They took me in there, and the doctor looked at me and said, man, you don't have much time left for this old world. I said, thank you for the encouragement, doctor. And he laid me down and examined me. He told my wife, I tell you what, give me 7 days with him, and after that you can have him back. 7 days, and I'm going to give him the most potent medicine he's ever taken in his life. I still don't know what it was. They called it a hot shot. And that nurse brought a syringe in there. It scared me to death. It looked to me like about a quart. I don't know. I might have been wrong. I might be exaggeration. But they put this thing on my arm to find my vein, and they told me I had to sign this thing that if I would die during this, I couldn't sue them. I said, boy, this is something else. Well, I signed the paper because I was so sick I couldn't do anything else. Every day for 7 days, I took these shots. And you almost pass out every time they give them to you. Everything tastes funny. And on the seventh day, my wife took me to church. She held me up against the pew, and I shared my testimony and gave thanks to Almighty God for what he did. Friends, I'll tell you, God has the power to heal you. He has the power to raise you up. He knows what you're made of because he made you in his image. All right. Now, sometimes we have difficulties that we can't deal with. Maybe you're having a difficulty with your job, and you think, well, I'd like to quit and go somewhere else. But however, it may not be in the best interest for you to do that, and so you stay. Well, if you're a born-again believer, there's a possibility that God has a job for you to do, and he wants you to do it right then and there. Oh, I must tell you a story about a lady who, she was in a rest home, and a nurse in our house, in our church, said, Cecil, I want you to go see this dear little lady. Well, when I went down there, this little Nazarene lady was laying in bed with her eyes shut, praying, oh, God, take me home. God, there's no use in me sticking around. Take me home. And I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, dear lady, I want you to know that's the stupidest, most selfish prayer I've ever heard in my life. Now, this lady was about 70 years old or maybe older. She said, who are you? I said, I'm Cecil Moore. I'm one of the preachers over here to the school. and I heard that you were sick, and I wanted to come see you. So I sat there, and I held her hand, and I shared with her what Jesus had done for me. Now I said, Mrs. Fisher, let me tell you a story. When God is through with you, he will take you home to glory, but you're not going to go until you have done whatever he wants you to do. Well, she said, what does he want me to do? I said, ask him, don't ask me. He'll tell you. So twice a week, sometimes three times a week, I'd go down there and I'd visit her, read the Bible, and pray with her because she was almost totally blind. Well, one day I went down to see her and her bed was empty. And I said, oh, no, the Lord took her home. The nurse said, who are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for Mrs. Fisher. I said, oh, she's up in the get well ward. I said, pardon me? Yeah, she's up in the, it's the second floor. Go on up and see her. I walked there at the door and I stopped and she said, Brother Mo, come in. I said, how could you see me? You're blind. Well, she said, I could tell the way you walked. And it was you. I know it was you. I said, well, you're doing better. She said, yes, I am. Well, I said, has God told you what he wanted you to do? She said, not yet, Cecil. Not yet, but he will. I said, you bet your life he will. Now, one evening I went up to see her, and she had the sweetest smile on her face you ever saw in your life. Now, she said, Cecil, I don't want you to talk to me tonight because that little black sister over there in the room, she's going home to be with Jesus tonight. I said, how do you know? Of course, she said God told her she was going home tonight. I said, okay, so I went over there, and I talked with this sweet little black sister. And she said, you know, my husband was a pastor of a large church, and I served the Lord faithfully, and we served the Lord, and one day God took him home. She said, I've missed him so much. But she said, today the Lord assured me that he's going to take me home tonight. And so we prayed, and I didn't pray for God to leave her here. And sure enough, beloved, that night, that dear black sister went home to be with Jesus. Now, I went back there again, and Mrs. Fisher said, I've got to talk to you about something. You're going to like to hear this. I said, well, what is it? She said, do you know that lady at the foot of my bed? I said, yeah. Well, she said her husband came up to see her the other night. And he was visiting with her, the Lord spoke to my heart in no uncertain terms. And he told me to talk to that man that night. So when he finished and he kissed her goodbye, she said, sir, could I see you just for a moment? So he came over to her bed and she said, my name is Mrs. Fisher. And I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? And the old man said, no, I don't know him. She said, well, you know, if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to know him. Now, she went over to plan a salvation with that dear old gentleman, told him what he had to do, and he left. The next night, he came back into the Mrs. Fisher's room and went over and grabbed her hand and said, oh, thank you for telling me about Jesus, because I went home last night and I got down on my knees. God convicted me. I needed to be saved. And I accepted Christ, and I want to thank you, Mrs. Fisher, for telling me the good news. Needless to say, my friends, just a couple, 3 days or so later, God took Mrs. Fisher home. Why? Because she did what God called her to do. Mary Maritsky, bless her heart, she used to tell me, Cecil, I have never led a soul to Christ, but that is not exactly true. I do not know how many people that she told me about, her sons and her daughters and her nephews, that I had the privilege of going over to introducing to Christ them to Christ, because Mrs. Fisher had prayed and prayed all night long for these people. Older people, let me tell you something. You know, if you know Jesus, you've probably known him for a long time, and you know that he is concerned about your needs. He's concerned that you tell him about it. You can tell me about it, but that won't do no good. And that's why I say people who go to preachers or priests to try to get their sins forgiven, there's not a man on this earth that can forgive one sin on your soul, not one. Only Jesus can forgive your sins. Well, friends, there's so many things that we could talk about, but I just want you to know that this wonderful Christ has the power to do these things for you. You know what Paul said in Romans 8:38? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, he said in 2 Timothy 1:2, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, listen, he's concerned about you tonight, and he'll never leave your side. He said, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Oh, I have led people to Christ who were on their deathbed. One time I was called to the veterans hospital. This man was dying of cancer. He couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. He was in so much pain. I took him by the hand and I said, listen, I know that you're the black sheep of the family. And your family said they've let you down and they've prayed for you, but they've never had nerve to come talk to you. So I gave him a plan of salvation and told him, I said, you don't have long to live and you know that. Wouldn't you like to know Jesus of Calvary? He couldn't talk. I said, if you do, squeeze my hand. And he squeezed my hand real tight. I said, are you ready to pray the sinner's prayer? If so, squeeze my hand twice. He squeezed my hand twice, and I helped him pray the sinner's prayer. And when I got finished, I said, did you mean that? If you did, squeeze my hand as hard as you can. And he did. I had a word of prayer with him. Tears come to his eyes. In a few days, he was gone. Friends, I'm telling you, this Jesus I know will go to the very depths of hell with you. He'll go to the very door of hell for you if you come to him as a little child. That's what he wants to do tonight. He wants to give you this new life. Let me ask you, are you ready to die? You say, oh, Cecil, I don't think so. Well, if you're not ready to die, then you're ready to be saved. It's as simple as that. Once a soul leaves your body, you're stuck. You made your decision. I'm asking tonight to come to Christ. Become as a little child and open your heart like I did so many years ago when my life was over, with no hope. But I found out God loved me. If you'd like to put your trust in Jesus tonight, bow your head to me right now. The Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. And pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me tonight. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on an air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. But I am concerned where you spend eternity. Wouldn't you like to call and tell me so we can pray together? I won't embarrass you, dear friends. If you're confused, call me. I'll be glad to talk to you. 303-471-8534. God bless you to make that call tonight.